One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Welcome to Canaan Bound Podcast, a podcast designed to offer the Christian rest during life's journey. Supported by those who share the teaching of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Wells. My name is Tom Barthel, glad to be serving as your host for this episode. This is episode number 164. Have you ever tried reaching someone who is in top-level government, or maybe a top level in a huge company? You might have sent a message through their website or contacted their support line, but did you ever really think someone wanted to listen? I'm sure the head of Amazon doesn't care if I really didn't like the way my box was torn when it arrived, and I'm guessing the governor of Arizona doesn't want to hear my rant about the pothole on the left lane on Highway 210 West. So why bother trying to reach them? They don't have time. They don't want to hear me. They might hear me if I was a celebrity or maybe an important, wealthy owner of some large corporation, but I'm not. Have you ever felt this way about God? Maybe at times thinking, God doesn't want to hear our prayer. Or maybe thinking that God would only listen to my prayer if I was someone really special, you know, really holy. What does the Bible say about all that? It has a lot to say about prayer. Today we'll focus on what the Bible tells us about Christian prayer. Why do Christians pray to God? Well, to put it simply, prayer has both God's command and His promise. You see, the Lord says in Psalm 50:15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." That's not a suggestion, that's not an if, that's a promise and a command. Call on me, I will deliver you. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. For everyone who asks receives." Someone might argue, who's Jesus to promise that every prayer his disciples ask will be answered? Well, he came to be the answer to our prayers. He did far more than show us how to pray or invite us to pray. He came to be the answer behind every prayer. After all, isn't the thought behind every prayer, does God hear? Or does He really love me? Can I, after all I've done or failed to do, expect my God to hear and answer? God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. His Son willingly gave Himself and shed His blood to free the world from sin, death, and hell. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. God does care about you. He does love you. And to make it known, He sent His Son who died for you. And He promised all you have done and all you have failed to do doesn't matter when you are forgiven in Christ. Behind every Christian prayer is this: God, I know you love me. I know my sin was great, but your love greater in Jesus. Now, mercifully, hear my prayer, because you have commanded, you have invited, you have promised regarding prayer. You know, we may not have the words to use, but God promises to give us the words. He promises His Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And God makes sure the prayers of His people are heard. We can pray from the heart, confident our prayers reach the throne of God, not because we dare to approach or because we're so important, but because He's commanded us, invited us, and promised to hear us because of His great undeserved love for us. And you know what? He also gives us some model prayers. Jesus' disciples once asked Him how they should pray, so He gave them a short model prayer. We'll be looking at that for the coming weeks as we go over the parts of the Lord's Prayer. Until then, all who trust in Christ can pray with confidence they are heard. They are commanded to pray, invited to pray, and promised that they are heard. That is why Christians pray. Let it be your cause to pray as you trust in the goodness of God through Christ. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor at Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus. Here's a song from the Lutheran Kaylee Orchestra, Christ Be Beside Me.
Christ be beside me, Christ be before me, Christ be behind me, King of my heart. Christ be within me, Christ be below me, Christ be above me, never to part. Christ on my right hand, Christ on my left hand, Christ all around me, shielding the strife. Christ in my sleeping, Christ in my sitting, Christ in my rising, light of my life. Christ be in all hearts thinking about me. Christ be in all tongues telling of me. Christ be the vision in eyes that see me. In ears that hear me, Christ ever.
Up next, a devotion shared by Pastor Nathan Nass, based on Psalm 112, verse 7.
Hi, I'm Pastor Nathan Nass with another short devotion from God's Word. Today's devotion is called No Fear. I read a story about a man who lived through World War II in England. Every night, air raid sirens blared and enemy bombers dropped bombs. Every day, news came of more casualties. There was so much death, so much uncertainty, so much fear. This man found himself going back again and again to one verse from the Bible. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 7. Even in the middle of that war, that man didn't need to be afraid, because above all the chaos was the Lord. That didn't mean everything was going to go great. That didn't mean that death and heartache and pain wouldn't strike that man's family. But it meant that his loving, all-powerful God was in perfect control, even in the middle of all that carnage. His heart could be steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Dear friend, you can live with that same attitude. The good news of the Bible is that Jesus is your Savior. He died to forgive every one of your sins. He has prepared a place for you to live forever in heaven through faith in Him. He controls every moment of every day of your life. The good news of Jesus means that no matter what carnage and chaos surrounds you, you don't have to be afraid of bad news. May your heart be steadfast, always trusting in the Lord.
I invite you to join with me as I pray. Lord God, I am at times shaken by all the changes of this world, the changes of sin, and how an increasingly godless culture supports what is sinful. I'm shaken by how many churches change with the times instead of holding on to your word. And I'm shaken by the many pastors, teachers, and other leaders of your church who have not been able to continue serving because of old age, retirement, even death. All these changes seem so unsettling, but remind me of the unchanging truth that Jesus lives. And comfort me this Easter season and always that because He lives, I have a great High Priest who is always there for me. It is through Him who died and lives again, lives for me, that I can now approach and pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a High Priest who forever meets all my needs and who never changes. Amen. Changes can be hard. When I was in college, I had a job working for a retail store. One thing I found interesting about that type of work is how much change there was from year to year. Within the span of just a few months, some of the employees would quit or move on or get other jobs. Some would get fired. But the change that I found the most unsettling was the constant change in management. It seemed like we had a new manager every year. That would be frustrating because the management wouldn't know the employees or the job that they started out as new. The changes in management usually caused a great deal of frustration for the people they worked with. What about in God's kingdom? I'm sure that most Christians have become familiar with the types of changes that happen in Christian congregations. Members of a church family and body will come and go. Some die. Some move. And the church leadership can change when pastors change or the leadership changes. Pastors also retire, and new pastors and teachers come and go. All those changes can be frustrating, exciting, or challenging. But what we celebrate at Easter is that there is something which will never change about God's kingdom. Doesn't matter what challenges a Christian church might face, or be facing, or what changes they are up against, the world and the culture around them might change, the congregational leadership might change, the families might change, but one thing remains constant from year to year, even from generation to generation. The Christian church has a permanent priest. I'm not talking about the type of priest that the Old Testament church once had, nor am I talking about the type of priest that a Roman Catholic church might have today. I'm talking about the one eternal priest, Jesus. Listen to what we read about our unchanging priest in Hebrews chapter 7. Now, there have been many of those priests, speaking about the priest of the Old Testament scriptures, many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him. Because He, Jesus, always lives to intercede for them. That's Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 and following. The ancient Christians were tempted to revert back to the old priesthood instead of seeing Jesus as their great, everlasting high priest. But Jesus is their priest and ours forever. All other leaders in the church have come and gone, Even if they served the church for many years, eventually death prevented them from continuing in office. But there is one priest who will never have to step aside because of age or death. Jesus. As our priest, he offered up the sacrifice of himself once and for all. He did this as a perfect priest for all. Every other sacrifice was only a picture leading us to see his great sacrifice. That work is done. But Jesus' work as our priest is not done. He lives forever to intercede for us. Besides offering sacrifice as a priest serves as a go-between between God and the people he serves. Jesus is our eternal go-between. He is stepping in to intercede on our behalf. Even though church leaders, pastors, and Christian friends can be there to help and offer comfort, Jesus is far greater than the greatest person. He is risen from death, and because he offered up the sacrifice for every sin, he now lives to step in for every sinner. You never have to worry if the payment is good. Jesus offered it up once and for all, and he lives. You never have to wonder if today that payment is still credited to your account. Jesus lives forever to say, "You are forgiven." And with all the changes and all the uncertainty that surrounds the work of the church and this Christian church in this ever-changing world, one truth remains. Our sins are forgiven, and we have a great high priest who lives to serve all who trust in him, who lives forever to intercede, because he lives forever to completely save those who come to God through him. I invite you to approach the throne of God with me and all Christians as we confidently proclaim, "My great high priest, Jesus, lives. I am forgiven and can approach God's throne through him." We'll close today with a song shared by Koine, "Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain."
Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Hear up your and healing fountain flows to you, to me, to all. In a full perpetual tide, open when our Savior died. Shall live forever, tells a soul-renewing flood. God is faithful, God will never break his covenant of blood. Signed when our Redeemer died, sealed when
You have been listening to Canaan Bomb Podcast, episode number 164. This episode was first shared in 2023. For more information and to learn more about those who contributed, as well as our musicians, visit CanaanBombPodcast.com, and you'll find links to the artist in the show's description notes. We encourage you to find a Wells ministry nearest you. Visit wells.net. Thanks for joining us. And remember his promised rest.